Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show as we begin a new week here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Nice to be fully aboard here on the show. Very excited for the opportunity, and we're looking forward to getting things going today with a big one here today. Lots to talk about, but first, we are brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com, Market Street in Sunbury. They have all your insurance needs, home, auto, life, theft, any of that. They've got you covered. Check them out online, purdyinsurance.com, or visit them at their office on Market Street in Sunbury. Today's show also brought to you by Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And you can also reach us here, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us, stevejones@wkok.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at stevejonespsu, and we're at the Steve Jones Show on Facebook. And also hit us up, stevejonesshow.com. We have all 3 months' worth of podcasts, archives from all the shows you can check out and download for yourself. Now, getting into today, speaking of Penn State, man, what a day for Miles Sanders yesterday, leading the Eagles to an emotional win at the Washington Redskins yesterday. I get three-win Redskins, but the way the Eagles were able to win that game, the big plays they had to make in that game, it's still a big momentum boost for them as they go into a big do-or-die week here against the Dallas Cowboys, which is basically winner-take-all for the NFC East. But getting back to Miles Sanders and what he did yesterday, easily his biggest rushing game of the year, 122 yards on the ground, 19 carries and a touchdown. Plus, of course, he had the huge touchdown catch in the back of the end zone that made it 17-14 Eagles in the third quarter. And that's basically just, that's basic scramble drill right there, where he's running up the sideline on a go route, and then he's just kind of moving around, finds the back of the end zone, as he mentioned postgame yesterday, when Carson Wentz is scrambling to the near side, and he's able to keep both feet in bounds, back of the end zone. It was just an incredible play, and obviously for Carson Wentz, the throw of the year for him, probably one of the best throws of his career. Just an unbelievable catch that Miles Sanders made yesterday. And he also had a key 56-yard run that led to a Zach Ertz touchdown in the early fourth quarter yesterday, in which he got up to 21.01 miles per hour. That was one of two times, Steve, he got over 20 miles per hour, and he was huge for the Eagles yesterday.
Yeah, he was huge. And that's, look, it sets up the Dallas game. We'll talk to Matt Leon about that in a few moments. The two big stories here. Number one, Penn State, for the first time since 1996, is ranked in basketball in the AP poll. Penn State is ranked 23rd in the AP poll, 24 in the coaches' poll. First time since 1996 in the regular season. Last time they were ranked was at the end of the 2001 season when they were ranked 25th in the coaches' poll. So Penn State is ranked in the regular season in college basketball for the first time since 1996. They will play Friday night, but I don't think we have the game. Do we, Matt? We have Santa Claus on
Yes, I have to double check, but yeah.
Yeah, on Friday night. So we won't have that game because Talk with Santa is really important, okay? So you're not going to have me sit here and say, no, here are the game. No. Let's talk with Santa. But that's the big story there. They're 9-2. And then the second big story here is Micah Parsons. He is the 101st first-team All-America in the history of Penn State football. Saquon Barkley was number 100. Micah Parsons, AP first-team All-America. And justifiably so. What does it tell you? This guy is still looking for his first career interception. When people are looking at numbers, they're looking at how he plays. And he play, and he has just been spectacular with what he's been able to do. No question, spectacular. Andrew, let's see, Ben Jones today in the Penn State basketball ranking. Matt Leon on the Eagles today. Andrew Callahan on the Patriots taping Shikellamy practices. I don't blame him.
I must have missed that part in this story.
Wait, well, when Callahan's on, believe me, it'll be brought up. And so we'll have that for you coming up on the show tomorrow. We'll talk. It's been saw Andrew at the Michigan game. He was here for the Michigan game.
Okay.
Yep. So it's the last time I talked to him.
Oh, yes, I think I did see that. He was visiting because I think that was the Patriots bye week.
Yeah, and we rode up in the elevator together and talked for a couple minutes. He's done really well at masslive.com.
Absolutely.
Done really, really well. But so that's what we have coming up. And later in the week, I think we're going to finally get Cam Miller back on the show. Cam has been tied up with everything, but we're going to get him back on Thursday's show and talk a little bit. And I'm working, you don't have to do this, I'm working on getting Lou Prado on some Cotton Bowl history.
Awesome, that'll be really good.
Yeah, talking about the Wally triplet. And the history that he made in the Cotton Bowl. I'll play the legendary and outstanding, by the way, Doak Walker. And that game ended in a 13-13 tie. I never did bring up to Ed Checkeye, the former athletic director, late athletic director at Penn State. It was his missed extra point. It's his missed extra point. Like made it a 13-13 tie, but Wally Triplett played great that day. Wally Triplett came back, Matt, and visited the Penn State football players.
Just recently?
It was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
A couple years ago. And they treated him like royalty. It was so wonderful to see.
That's cool.
It was just wonderful to see how they treated Wally Triplett. They just treated him. Each player going up and getting their picture with him. And that really, wow. I talked to him for a while on the sideline during practice, and his wife. And his wife thought this was just the greatest thing going, the way that everybody was treating him. And then when he got to talk to the players, you could hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop as each one was riveted to what he had to say. And then when it was done, player after player after player after player came up and thanked him. Thanked him. Now, Wally passed away a year ago. He was 92. That's why it was so special. And I had met and talked with Wally before. But, you know, I would say that I probably spent 45 minutes to an hour on that sideline with him during that practice, talking with him, memories, how much he liked the team, what it meant to him. And then, you know, then you see a Nick Scott go up to him and a Garrett Taylor goes up to him. And it's a, and the long list of guys that just went up and talked to Wally Triplett and his wife. Well, all this. All of this was just so special. I mean, to her, she was up there talking. He was up there talking. And she was talking to me. And when you're not, people today can't relate to what he went through. People today can't relate to what Jackie Robinson went through. People today can't relate to what Larry Doby went through. People today can't relate to what Chuck Cooper went through in the NBA. People today just can't relate to it. Can't. I mean, you rejected playing games. I'm sorry. Your team can't stay at this hotel. And we can't relate to it. None of us can. The ignorance, the hate, the vitriol, and that nobody knows you personally. It is bizarre to even think that that was part of the culture of an area. I mean, they would not let the Penn State team stay in the hotel in Dallas because they had Wally Triplett. It was a big deal. He played in the game. And believe me, when Penn State went to the Gator Bowl in 62, it was still an issue. Things that we take for granted today, we shouldn't. We need to remember these things. But when Wally Triplett was here and visited with that football team a couple years ago, it was one of those wow moments. And the wow moment was not just what he said. The wow moment was the affection with which he was greeted by that team. And how much that affection meant to him. Now, Wally passed away at the age of 92. I believe Wally was 90 when he was here. So that would have been, 2016, 17, right around there? I want to say it was 2017, so I think it was 2 years ago. So it was a year before he died. And when you're that age, and you played that long ago. He was one of the first African Americans drafted in the NFL. He was drafted by the Detroit Lions. When you're that age, your career was decades before these players were even born. What a wow moment that is. That 18 to 22 year olds appreciate you for being the true trailblazer you happen to be. That they realize that they are where they are today because Wally Triplett had the talent, the intelligence, and the guts to blaze that trail for them. That was special to see. That's one of the privileges, Matt, of the job, where you're one of the privileged few that gets to stand there and see it happen.
Definitely.
And you're blown away by it. Got in the car right away, called Jack Ham. I said, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. All right, we'll take a break. Talk to Santa tonight. Will the suit be in the building tonight?
He is in the building currently. I don't know how much longer he will be here for, is the question.
Well, if he leaves early, I'm just trying to boost attendance. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. What? people, you question my motives. I see the big picture. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Have you with us on the show today, Matt Leon, next half hour, and then we'll follow that up with Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, Micah Parsons, 101st first-team All-America for Penn State, getting AP recognition today, and Penn State basketball for the first time since 1996 is ranked in the top 25. They're also 18 in the first release net. By the way, is a key component used by the NCAA selection committee. So Penn State 18 in the net, 23 in the AP poll, 24 in the coaches poll, ranked this week for the first time in the regular season since 1996. At some point, I got to tell the Nick Ury story, because the Nick Ury story from last night was phenomenal. Phenomenal. I think I'll do that in the last half hour. Him getting his scholarship last night. It wasn't just his scholarship. There's some addendums to it that were really cool that I'll pass on from a personal point of view. Kyle Brady gave the speech last night. Kyle was awesome. It was awesome. I introduced him and said, Kyle played for the 1994 Penn State National Championship football team. Then I looked over at him and says, you'd have beaten that other team by two touchdowns. He looks at me and says, damn right. He gave a great speech last night, and he did a little bit was a PowerPoint up on the screen. He says, now here are the four coaches I played for in my career. First one was Joe, the second one was Tom Coughlin, the third one was Bill Belichick, and the last one was Bill Parcells. He says, Chad, and none of them were complimentary pictures. And he loved all four guys. He loved all four guys. Then he did his Joe Paterno impersonation. Oh, my goodness. Matt Leon, next half hour. The Eagles won yesterday, and Carson Wentz down the stretch played really well again. Wow. Now they've got Dallas. There's that great NFL Films 1980 NFC Championship game where the fan in the playoffs says, we want Dallas. We want Dallas here at the Vet. Well, they got them there at the Vet, and they beat them that day. Wilbert Montgomery scored. Was it the first play of the game?
Yes, it was.
Right? Went all the way for a touchdown. Well, now you got Dallas again. And this time with all the marbles on the table.
It'll be Miles Sanders this time.
Miles has played well down the stretch.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They've found their customers, their friends, their neighbors, exactly the right insurance, whether it's auto, home, life, business, make sure you're covered. Could be a bundle. They've done everything they can to find you the right price. They update those policies for you because they care. And if there's ever a claim, which you don't want to have happen, obviously, they take care of it as if it happened to them because they care about you. Customer service means everything. So, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here, those Sunbury Motors sales numbers have been great this year. What a job they've done. And for all of you who have bought one from Sunbury Motors, you're thrilled. Bought from the best. They take care of it all the way through, too. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Eagles yesterday had a fabulous win. Oh, yeah, it's the Redskins, but you know what? You have to win it. Right now, you know, it's one thing about the NFL. The NFL, and it really is the same with professional sport, any professional sport, style points mean nothing. Did you win the game? Well, they chalk it up as a W. They don't sit there and say, well, I think we're going to give you half a win because you really didn't look good doing it. No, they give you a full win, and you go to the next one. Well, they beat the Redskins yesterday. The Cowboys clobbered the Rams. I can't tell whether the Cowboys look great or the Rams look that bad. Probably a combination of the two. But now it sets everything up for Sunday. Eagles and Cowboys. With that, we bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Matt, great to have you with us as always, as the Eagles won yesterday. Yesterday, look, there are no style points in the NFL. What did you think of yesterday's game? You know, just the fact that how they won it.
Like most Eagles games, difficult to sit through. But at the end, got to give the offense specifically credit. Carson Wentz has really been really good in the fourth quarter and last week against the Giants in overtime. Under control, I think he was 8 of 8 on the game-winning drive, including the touchdown to Greg Ward, a guy who bounced around on the practice squad for years, and all of a sudden now is making plays all over the place. You got to give them credit. They kept fighting. The defense drove you nuts yesterday. They allowed Washington to move the ball like Washington has an all season with Haskins, the rookie quarterback. But Eagles offense made plays, and like you said, no style points, 7-7, and Sunday's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. I was interested to see the fact the Cowboys played so well yesterday because the Rams needed the game, and the Cowboys dusted them.
Well, the Rams should probably be in the NFC East because they're yes. another team you absolutely have no idea what you're going to get. You know, they got pasted by the Ravens on that Monday night game. Then they looked more like the Rams people had become accustomed to the last 2 weeks leading into this one. You thought it was going to be a great game. If anything, you thought the arrow was pointing towards the Rams. And I don't want to take anything away from Dallas, the way Dallas played, but the Rams didn't seem very interested. And but, you know, Dallas really took care of business, never let them up for air. It was one of the Cowboys' best performances in weeks.
All right, so now you go into the matchup with Dallas. And that will be the key. When you look at the first matchup between the two, what worked for Dallas? What worked for Philadelphia?
Everything worked for Dallas. Dallas came out really playing with their hair on fire and put it to the Eagles early. The Eagles were slow starting. I think the Eagles scored a touchdown, if I remember correctly, that made it 14-7. And you thought, okay, maybe they're going to settle in and make a game of it. And Dallas just took it from there. And was the better team on both sides of the football. If you're looking at this game on paper, I think Dallas has more talent, and Dallas, you know, is the team you would be more confident in, but they've been just as up and down as the Eagles. And I think the big question in this one, as much as we talk about you don't know what you're going to get, it's really alarming how bad the Eagles defense has been the last 3 weeks. I mean, they played much better in the second half against the Giants, but other than that second half against the Giants, they've been torched for long plays. One of the most maddening things about them is their ability to give up a back-breaking drive or score right after the Eagles score. It's been almost comical. The Dolphins game 3 weeks ago and yesterday against Washington, not allowing the Eagles to build any momentum. But then this is also the same Eagles defensive unit that at the link really stymied the Patriots and the Seahawks. So if you get that defensive type of performance, the Eagles have a very good chance. I think if the defense plays like they have for 2.5 of the last 3 games, the Eagles are going to be in trouble. I have no idea what to tell you. The Eagles defense is basically healthy. It's the offense that's, you know, calling up guys in a practice squad and then playing them 70 plays on Sunday. So it kind of doesn't make any sense, the situation we're in, but this is what it is. So I think it's going to come down, does the Eagles defense make enough plays to keep Dallas in the 17 to 24 point range? If they do that, I think the Eagles have a good chance.
Is it a lack of pass rush? Is it linebacking play? Is it everything?
It's missed. I saw a stat. It was only like the second time the Eagles have ever won a game without a sack or a turnover. That's wrong. It was a sack or an interception because they got the last play of the game. They get the turnover. That makes it, you know, all that does is make the guys that bet the money line happy. But they didn't get much pressure, and that's a Redskins offensive line that was missing its best offensive lineman, had struggled to protect. You got a rookie quarterback, and for much of the game they didn't get close. Then you talk about missed tackles. The 75-yard touchdown pass they had early on was a 14-yard in-batter that they missed a tackle and off to the races. It's always something. They didn't keep contained. They missed tackles in the running game. One thing that's kind of consistent, if you kind of look at the whole season, they haven't generated a lot of big plays. Even in a lot of these games where the defense has played better as far as yards allowed and on the scoreboard, they're not forcing multiple turnovers. They're not forcing multiple negative plays. And I have no answer for you as to why. You look at this defense in theory, they've got guys that have made plays before. They've got guys at every level that have made plays before. Like I said, they're as healthy as they've been all season. It's just not working. I don't know if the teams have completely figured it out. I don't know if something's not clicking, or if it's just one of those situations like when you get in a slump. One day, it's only, 10 guys do exactly what they're supposed to do. One guy doesn't. That's the guy that gets exploited. And then three plays later, he does exactly what he's supposed to do. So do nine other guys, but it's a guy on the other side who doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and that gets exploited. But it's been tough to watch because, like, that was a Washington offense they should have really smothered yesterday. If anything, I thought that was going to be a low-scoring game, something in the 17-14. To give up 27 points to that Washington offense is alarming.
Yeah, it's like, and I've used this analogy with you before, my pitching's awful. My hitting is great. I finally get great pitching, and it's the day the hitting doesn't go. It's just terrific. I feel great. All right. Why is Wentz played better when the money's on the table?
I think he's kind of enjoyed having things on his back. When you look at the supporting cast, Miles Sanders has really come alive here and really not come alive, but you can tell he's adjusted to the speed of the game at the NFL level.
He's a better running back now than he was in September.
Yeah, oh, no question about it, the way he hits holes and the way he creates misses and stuff like that. But aside from him and Ertz, it's really a bunch of guys that, are the island of misfit toys. And he's kind of been in the middle of that and made plays. They've allowed him to work outside of the pocket a lot more, and he's a much better quarterback, in my opinion, when he's on the move, not necessarily scrambling, but just getting loose, creating on the run. I think they've found a rhythm play calling wise, because even he was great in the fourth quarter. He had some fumbles that has become a very alarming problem that they've got to try to figure out. But he was pretty good for most of that game. But he's just been lights out late in the game, and the great ones tend to rise to the occasion when it matters. And I think we're seeing a quarterback who's been playing at a very good level, but maybe maturing to another level here, especially playing with the suboptimum surrounding pieces.
I hope you have an awesome holiday.
You too, sir. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Matt Leon in Philadelphia. Next half hour, we'll talk with Ben Jones about Penn State basketball's number 23 ranking as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Happy holidays. Whatever the holiday it happens to be that you're celebrating, whether it's Hanukkah, which starts, I believe, on Sunday, Christmas, which is a week from Wednesday, Maybe you celebrate Kwanzaa. Happy holidays from us to you. Santa will be in the building tonight from 6.05 to 7. Talk to Santa, a decades-old tradition. That is one of the elements of working here that I love. Love. And that'll be from 6 to 7 this evening. Now, does that mean Penn State basketball is preempted on Friday? Yes. Pretty good reason, though, don't you think, when you're preempted for Santa Claus? It's not bad. There's going to be Santa Claus will be entering the Cotrillo household. It's an exciting time for you.
That's right.
Very exciting time. When is that completely beautiful woman you're married to due?
She is due January 18th as of now.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. That'll be the last Christmas present to come in.
Oh, it's the best one. We have, due to circumstances, all of them here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. My son Mike and his wife Mary Beth, because they work at a hospital. I mean, she's a doctor, he's an RN. They have shifts that take them into Christmas. So we're going to do Christmas here this weekend.
Well, that works.
Now, our newest grandchild, our latest grandchild, June, was born 6 weeks ago, October 31st. This will be the first time all of us are together at the same time.
That's cool.
So we are very excited about that. I'm trying to convince my son, Mike. Dan's already going to be here. Chris is going to be here, too. I'm trying to convince all of them to go to the game on Friday night, if Mike can get here early enough. Game's at 6. And then we're going to just enjoy being us with no interruptions for 48 hours, 72 hours. I mean, that's something about our family that I've always cherished is everybody. There are never any fights. You know, they go around as a family, they're around each other for a few hours and then it's snipping or whatever. That doesn't happen. My kids never fought growing up. They never did. Yeah, because they were always so mad at me. I was a unifying force. No, I'm just kidding. I've always been a... Yeah, would I discipline? Yes, I would. I would discipline, but I was always, in the end, the softy. So... and then as the grandfather, I freely admit, I am in 24/7 spoil mode. I mean, they can really do almost, I mean, they'll do something, and it'll aggravate their parents, and I'm always, oh, no, it's okay. You wouldn't have said that to us, Dad. I said, well, yeah, I had to go home with you.
And there it is.
But even then... No, I was never. Thank God for their mother. That's why they turned out so well. I wasn't really a big assist. I paid for a few things. All right. So that's what we're doing. Have you picked out a name yet?
We are pretty much set on boy or girl because we did not decide. We decided that we're not going to find out the gender until it comes.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's a boy, might I recommend Stephen Jack?
I'll keep that in mind.
No.
Oh, I've already been told that I can't name our if it's a baby boy, I can't name it Carson. I have been told that already.
Oh, okay. All right. I suppose the suit's out.
Yeah, I think that might be out.
They named their kid the suit. Real? Wow, that's really kind of bizarre. When Ron Moeller had a grandchild, he said, we're looking for the name. He said, well, they haven't given me the name yet. So I did the old Steve and Jack. so it comes out Stephen Jack.
See what you did there?
Right. Well, no, that's why I say, how about Stephen Jack? Right. And Jack says, I like it. It's just, we can't get anybody to bite. Oh, my goodness. Well, this is... So you don't know the gender.
We do not know.
Wow.
We're gender reveal rebels, as they say.
No, you know what? We didn't know four of them. The first four we didn't know. The last one we knew was a girl. The other four we never knew until the moment happened. Never did. So... And they were checking for something specifically on Megan. And so when they did, and it turned out it was great, so it was no issue at all, zero. But they were checking for something specifically, and they said, well, do you want to know the gender? Right? Now, I would go, whatever, you know. If she wanted to know, great. If she didn't want to know, okay. Right? Well, this time she wanted to know. It was a girl. Well, we had gone oldest as a girl, then three straight boys. So needless to say, oh, well. Yeah. As I've always told her, I said, you know what? I said, you gave me 0 seconds of trouble in your lifetime. Zero. He was always just a little sweetheart. But, you know, I could probably say that about all of them. Like I said, what did they have to overcome in their lives? Their father. All right, so. all right. For Penn State basketball, obviously it was a big day today. I mean, it's not the be-all, end-all, but I was listening yesterday to Basketball and Beyond with Mike Krzyzewski on Sirius XM. I'm driving over to the football banquet, and I was listening to Sirius XM. College Sports Radio 84, and Mike Krzyzewski was on. It turned out Dave Sims, old friend Dave Sims, who's been on the show, and I think everyone knows how far back Dave and I go. He normally is the host of the show, but Mark Packer had to fill in. And unsolicited, out of nowhere, Mike starts talking about Penn State. I'm driving along. I was kind of taken aback because remember, I mean, Penn State played Duke when Lamar Stevens and Mike Watkins were freshmen, but they haven't played them since, and they're not on the schedule this year. And Mike was talking about the quality of basketball being played across the country, how it's deeper than ever in his mind, and he specifically cited Penn State. And he started talking about Penn State being an older team now, how they've been patient with Pat, and how important that's been. And he said the reason he brought it up was that Duke did play Georgetown. And they played Georgetown a week after Penn State played them. And he said, I'm watching the Georgetown tape, and I'm thinking to myself, man, this Penn State team is really, really good. Well, when you're getting unsolicited comments, because again, remember, Duke is not playing Penn State this year. And Duke hasn't played Penn State since 2016. And a totally unsolicited five-minute moment on the show, he's talking all about Penn State basketball on his national radio show. I'm sitting there thinking, wow, that tells me a lot. Now you have to keep winning. That's one thing they did on Saturday. They did a lot of things Saturday. They followed up great success with more success. That's important.